It's time!
A shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Oh, you got to be ready. It's March Madness. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. Northwestern 6, Florida Atlantic 6, 8 minutes in to the first game of this Friday of the NCAA tournament. No way anybody's getting anything done today work-wise. Everybody is fired up to watch the games. And if you're a Predator fan, you are on high right now because this team continues to buzz. A tremendous win last night in Florida against one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. You ask a lot of experts, they will name Florida as the favorite to come out of the East. Elliot Friedman said that yesterday on our show. And they were no match for the Predators last night. 19,780 down there. And not all of them were there at the end because Nashville took the air out of the balloon and beat them 3-0. Chris Mason joins us here on the show. Mace, what's going on?
Yo, not much, man. Just, as you said, just enjoying the day and the aftermath of another great game by the Preds.
So do you agree with me? There's not going to be a whole lot of productivity today in the workplace.
No, I think so. I think there's a lot to be distracted about today for sure.
And you got the Wings coming in tomorrow, which is going to be a really, really special atmosphere. Not the chicken wings. We're talking about the Red Wings. And Mace, you remember the days where they would bring droves and droves of fans. I'm curious about tomorrow because the Predator fans are jacked up, but I think you're going to have just enough Red Wing fans who are excited about their season because it's been so long since they have had a really good team. It's really amazing for their fans. It used to be kind of the ones with Kentucky, right? We were just talking about Kentucky basketball, Mace. Wouldn't you say for a while Detroit kind of had that fan base that was kind of arrogant, like we're supposed to win, we've got all these great players, you guys just kind of move aside and let us come through and take over your building. And that's what made that early rivalry so great.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were the standard. And I know if you ask Trotsky, I think that was kind of what teams aspired to be, especially when the Predators came in the league. The Red Wings were, in the middle of a dynasty. And, you kind of wanted to – that was the gold standard, if you will. And I think that – naturally, our fan base and the rivalry that we had with them, that we, I guess, self kind of created just, it was the David and Goliath days back then, but it was a lot of fun playing those games. It's like, all right, let's give, everything we have to fight these guys and get as close as we can. And a lot of heartbreak, a lot of beat downs. And, it was a great, I think building, thing for the franchise just to have that rivalry and to and the kind of crescendo of the things when you finally Nashville finally beat them in the playoffs. And it was awesome. I just think it was really cool. With this, you think of all those guys, man. I hated those guys on that team. They wore that jersey. They were just so good, but you respected the heck out of them. And now they're in a different situation. They're fighting for their playoff lives. So we're going to have a desperate Detroit team come in here tomorrow for sure.
So one of the great players on those early Red Wings teams was Steve Yzerman, who now is their GM. He's taken a very patient approach, and the fans are showing as much patience as they can, but they really want to get back to the playoffs now. And it's been, I have to go back and look, but I think it's been 7 seasons since they've made the playoffs. Now, think about that hockey market and contrast it to what you were saying about what we just talked about with that dynasty type of team of the late 90s and then on through the mid-2000s. So they are going to be hungry. I think this is going to be a great test tomorrow.
It'll be a great test, but I think that also puts in perspective what it takes to go through a full rebuild. You got to tear it all right down to the screws and start over, and there's going to be a lot of losing. You see Chicago's going through it, Anaheim's going through it, San Jose, there's teams that like they tore it all down and they're going to start from scratch. And build it back up. It takes a while, but you know, you look at Detroit, they added at the there. They made some big off-season acquisitions. Patrick Kane, you know, this season they signed him. They're it's time for them to go back in. They think they have a good team. They think they can compete. They think they can be one of those, you know, dark horse teams if they get in. So it'll be interesting to see. They went through some tough times here recently, fighting in practice and lost, I don't know how many in a row, seven in a row or something like that when they were in the – they had a good – you know, kind of hold on a wild card, and it's going to be, this is, you know, a situation. I think, you know, you saw Nashville's desperation at the start of this streak that they're on. I think you're going to see that from the Red Wings.
We'll talk with C. Mace, Chris Mason, one half of the Nashville Predators television broadcasting team. Unfortunately, you know, C. Mace, I would have loved to see you guys call a game last night, you and Willie. But, you know, they got the win, so it doesn't matter. We'll see you guys this weekend. Called. Are you guys calling a game this weekend, Willie?
Yes, thank goodness.
Okay, good. So
I
can
start
watch
to go
it.
Through withdrawal if we had two in a row. That doesn't work for me.
Now, Lankinen is turning out to be sort of the road warrior for the Nashville Predators. Were you surprised that Coach Bruno put him in net, considering who the team was on the Florida Panthers? And what do you think of his game last night? Because he put up a shutout against a very good Florida Panther team.
Yeah, that's a great question, because actually Willie and I were talking about it, and Jacob Underwood as well. We have our group text chain going, and I expected this to be a Lankinen start. I just think that there's zero hesitation for the coaching staff to put him in a game of this magnitude against an opponent that good. And Willie's tweet on X or Twitter, whatever it's called now, you know, illustrates kind of his road and the, you know, the level of competition that he's played and succeeded against. It's beyond impressive. It really is. And I've been in that position a lot during my career, being a backup goalie and not playing for a couple weeks. And usually you get the crappy games, the second game of back-to-back or whatever, kind of a game that you want to rest Saros, you know, things could go south or whatever the situation is. They just have so much confidence in Lankinen, and he's proven it over and over and over and over again. And to look as good and as calm as he does without having, like, playing a game in the last couple weeks at a time, it's just such a testament to his preparation, the way that he competes in practice, the way that he prepares every game, and just his mental strength to be, you know, to get to that point in the zone or whatever, and to perform like he is. It's just been remarkable how solid and how good he's been in the net in those situations. I just can't really you know, put a value on that, because, you know, without Lankinen at certain points of the season, who knows? You know, you're talking about, you know, everyone's the backup goalie, but every game they play, they're the starter. And those 2 points are just as valuable as any other 2 points. And he has just been awesome this year, and deserves a heck of a lot of credit for what he's done for the team this season.
Now, a quick question here. Well, two of them here. You just spoke about Lankinen and his ability to come in and play really good hockey and be a force in net. Obviously, we know what UC is able to do. Do they have the best 1-2 combination of goalies in the National Hockey League?
You could make an argument for it. There's no question. I thought last year, I thought we saw that. For Bruno and for the coaching staff to have the confidence to play Lankinen in the games that he's played in, I feel there was a point in the season where Juice is really struggling, and there's the back-to-backs coming up. And I feel because Lankinen played so well and they had that much confidence, they were able to, you know, maybe more methodically choose the games that they were going to give Lankinen in order to kind of help Juice get his game going, you know, against some top level opponents on the first half of a back-to-back, which is rare to do, to start the backup goalie in those situations. Mm-hmm. I feel, obviously, now we know Saros's ceiling when he gets to it, right? We've talked about it quite a bit this year, you know, on this segment about where he's at and the up and downs that he's had this year. But now he's on that up. He's on that point that we all, you know, expected him to get to maybe a little sooner than he did this season, but he's there now. And the ability to have a 1-2 punch like this, I mean, remember a couple years ago when they Juice got hurt at the end of the year and they had to go to Ingram. He had the one amazing game. And, you know, the goaltending situation there, that didn't, there wasn't a lot of confidence going into that series against Colorado. You know, now's a different story. God forbid anything happens, you know, to, you know, one of the goalies, you have another 1A goalie. You know, you have confidence in who you're going to be putting in the net. And I think, you know, right now it's a great problem to have. And it just seems everything's clicking with this team. And to me, it really does start with goaltending. And from there on out, it's been just fantastic.
Now, Josi, he's been playing lights out as of lately. Arguably playing the best at his position than anybody else in hockey. Do you think he has a chance to win the Hart, or do you think that because of the way the first half of the season started, he sort of put himself behind the eight ball? He's up there, but the likelihood of him winning it is not as good as some of the other guys that have been playing well all season.
Yeah, I'm gonna be completely honest. I think that's the case. I think that he really did put himself, you know, I mean, the situation's put behind the eight ball.
Exactly.
You know, everybody wants to declare award winners in the first month of the season just because, like, oh, this guy got off to start. You know, he's the Norris. It's a lot harder to get steam with the narrative if it's the second half that you excel. We've been through this, you know, in Pekka's Vezina year, and it's really tough because there's a narrative already out there, and it's hard to change it. But you just have to keep driving home the numbers. I think there's no question that he deserves to be in that conversation and nominated for the award with what he's done. It's a special season, and we see it every single night. I just got a call yesterday from Mike Rupp from NHL Network. They're starting to talk about, he wanted to get some details on, hey, what's, fill me in, what's going on here? You know, I gave as much detail as I could. So he's starting to get that steam going, but it's going to be really hard, in my opinion, for him to win this award. That's why we got to keep telling the people. So they're starting to listen, but we got to keep hammering that point down, because he's just been, it's just unbelievable what he's doing right now. And we take it for granted, I think, sometimes, because we see it every night. But his consistency, you know, McDonough said the other day, it's just, he has this obviously offensive skill set that he can take over games offensively, but it's not at the cost of his defensive play. And to me, that's the full package. Is the Norris Trophy is all the intangibles. Yes, you need the offense. Yes, every player that wins it is an offensively gifted player. But the defensive side of things, I think that's where Josi really excels and could have some separation from, you know, some of the other top guys. Victor Hedman aside, I think is equally good defensively. But, you know, Makar and Quinn Hughes, I think, you know, Josi excels in that department compared to those two guys.
And I meant the Norris, not the Hart.
Well, you said the Hart for good reason, because, uh-huh, and this is where, yeah, it Mace, C-Mace, I got to clarify my Maces, right? But C-Mace knows, and I've learned this as well, that the narrative, what other people who are out and in big circles like Elliot, like he mentioned Mike Rupp on NHL Network, guys who watch the whole league, what they think is important. It influences some of the voters. It's just how it works. It's like the Heisman Trophy, right? So it was interesting. The Norris Trophy, I think he's gaining a lot of steam. Mm-hmm. Now Elliot introduced yesterday about somebody came up to him at the GM's meeting and said he should be talked about with the Hart Trophy. I think that's why you asked Hart Trophy. Mm-hmm. Because that's the MVP of the league.
Exactly.
But to me, it's almost like a mixed bag, C-Mace, because let's just concentrate on the Norris. Because realistically, I think it's a great compliment that guy gave Elliott. But at the same time, for narrative purposes, I want people to focus on the Norris.
Yes.
You think that's – I mean, I feel like that's the way to go.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you look at the Hart Trophy, it's probably going to be Kucherov or McKinnon. Again, it's always an offensive player that wins that award, and it's really hard to quantify a player's value to his team in an individual, you know, situation, because, you know, if we don't have Roman Josi, you could argue he's by far our most valuable player this season. There's been other seasons where it's Saros, and you know comparing that to Nathan McKinnon, who scores, you know, 200 points, or Kucherov, these guys are going toe to toe with that race, and how do you say, you know, their value is more than Yossi's just because they're, you know, they have, you know, more scoring or more points or whatever. But the Norris is the one I think that he has the best chance of winning or being part of the conversation or being nominated. I still think it's going to be really hard, but that doesn't mean we're not going to stop, you know, telling the story of how incredible his season is, because he deserves it. We see it every night. You know, I see those other guys. They're great players. They're having, you know, remarkable seasons as well. But what Roman Yossi is doing, and if you cut it, you know, the start that you mentioned, D-Mace, I think that's the big thing that may be holding him back, because nobody was talking about him in the first half. He started picking up steam. He's like, yeah, we all know Roman Yossi is a good player. He's, you know, top 10 defenseman, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. And then now it's on another level. He is just blowing the competition away. So if you look at it in its entirety, which is hard to get people to look at now, and when they've already had their mind made up, you know, halfway through the season, but we're going to keep going and hopefully people start listening.
All right, C-Mace, do you have time to sit through the break and have 5 minutes on the other side? We would love to ask you about this line contest. Name the line that we had earlier this week, because I know this is important to you and I, because yep, we are on the broadcast. We have to try to decide, do we go with this or not? Do you have time?
I would love to. I have a submission, too, a late submission.
Oh, okay. C-Mace has a submission. Okay. All right, when we come back, we're going to figure out this. They had another really good game last night. They didn't score, but Sherwood, McCarron, and Smith, really good numbers, again, doing their thing, and they make the league minimum. But they really bring the energy. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay tuned. All right, Nick Frazier. I guess he switched from the food-themed nickname to the Price is Right.
I like it.
I'm a big Price is Right guy. As a kid, I watched it.
Great game show theme. Yes, no question. A classic. So we got into this whole thing. Chris Mason's still with us, talking Predators. And he's been listening to this and following this. I've been keeping him up to speed on what we've been doing. We threw out this contest the other day for tickets. Name this line, because Mace and I just keep coming up with different things. We can't come up with something that sticks. That line, there goes that line again. Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, they all make basically the league minimum. Mm-hmm. They're really driving the team from the fourth line. They're the starting lineup, right? They go out there and they just set the energy level. They ignite, they inspire everybody. The crowd's really getting into it with these guys. And we think it's worthy of a nickname for the line. We don't throw that out lightly. Remember, despite Chase coming in and going, why does everybody want to name a line?
Exactly.
It's rained on the parade.
They deserve a line.
Yeah.
They deserve a name.
I think they do deserve a name. All right, so C-Mace, you've heard some of the ones that have surfaced here. So give me your thoughts on this.
Well, I love it. And I do think they've been together long enough. They've made such a huge impact on this team and their situation. So I think it has to be done justice. It can't just be any name. So a lot of thought, and I think you have to take it to them and see if they like whatever the name or you get it down to a couple and get their approval on it. And I think once they sign off, then, you know, then it's go time. I just think it's good. We'll get the shirts made and we'll do all the stuff.
We just need the name. Y'all to get everything else made.
Here's my submission, and there's already shirts made because this is a brand. And I believe it was Hockey Players that started this brand, I think. But it is Violent Gentlemen.
The Violent Gentlemen.
Violent Gentlemen.
Yeah.
The Violent Gentlemen line. VGL. VGL.
Oh, VGL.
The Violent Gentlemen line. Because just so, and this has happened before, C-Mace, our colleague, so you and I didn't get to do the game last night, Hal Skillsy on the radio, he threw out meat and potatoes
again,
because after the game on Tuesday, when Kara was asking Kiefer Sherwood, you know, what is it about the line, he goes, we're kind of meat and potatoes. And this was right after Penalty Box Radio did present them with a bunch of the submissions, and you could tell none of them really stuck with any of the three of them. You could tell Kiefer maybe was thinking along those lines a little bit there. So meat and potatoes has already been thrown out there, so the radio is one step ahead of us here.
Yeah, but that seemed like a hefty line, like a beefy line.
Meat and potatoes is like a duo, like meat and potatoes, like two people. We got three people, so I'm not sure.
So meat, potatoes, and hot dogs?
Can't forget about potatoes, biscuits and
pork
gravy.
And beans.
The biscuits and gravy.
Be the hot dog. We know apparently Cole Smith is the meat. He's a big meat eater. Maybe yeah. Karen's the potatoes, but I don't think Sherwood wants to be the hot dog.
Yeah.
We can work on it. I do like meat and potatoes, though. I think Lindsay threw that out there after she heard that in the interview with Kara. So that's kind of a good one, but it's got to be, we got to get it right. Like, I mean, the herd line, that was Kara Hammers.
Yeah.
That was just perfect, right? But now it's down to it. So I think we got to take it to them. And, you know, Sherwood said he wants something with energy and, you know, they get in there and they hit people and they do their thing, their work ethic and all that. So we got to get this right.
All right. The one that got the most steam on our show was a little bit of the Dolly Parton theme, the 9-to-5ers.
Yeah.
The working line to five. There's just kind of some variations, right?
Yeah.
The 95ers, they're all born in 1995, all three of them.
The
so
late
I thought
boys.
That was interesting. Yeah, so what about the 9-to-5ers, Mace? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm out.
You're out on that one.
I like it. I think it's creative. I think actually all the ones that people have submitted I thought were good, but I just to be the one, the name that's decided on, I'm out.
All right, D-Mace said that the Lake Boys.
They're
all from Lake States, right? Ohio,
border
Michigan, Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like that. I think we need a little more flair on it.
A little more pizzazz. The lumber line.
More like something like the energy or, you know, I don't know, something like that with the Lake Boys. Like, I don't know, Electric Lake Boys, something. That's not that, but along. Hmm. It's got to have a little more jam.
What about the lumber line?
The lumber line, don't hate it. Don't
okay.
hate it. That's
we're trying to figure out how, I guess, the
those
name,
guys could all pass as lumberjacks.
How it would, I guess you got to envision it on a shirt or a hat. And if you can envision it on a shirt and a hat, then that's the name.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. And then we can market it and then we'll copyright it and all that
there
kind of stuff. We'll do the things.
The discount dogs, like dog as DAWG and not DOG. Because they all make the league minimum. I like that blue collar, like we had to work our way up. I do like that embodying them.
Oh, we could just call them the Postal Service.
or what about bang for your buck line? The bang for your buck.
That wouldn't look good on a shirt.
Average, no.
Yeah, average. No.
The Broadway Bouncers, you could get all black shirts and then you just put, you know, the
I like that. I could see that on a shirt.
It's not bad.
All three of them. Standing in front of Bridgestone, I like that one, Nick.
Elliot Friedman submitted the minimizers because they're minimizing the opposition and they make the league minimum. Mm-hmm. Not a bad attempt.
I don't those ones to me though. They're like, I don't like a minimum like discount.
Yeah.
It's like it's taking them down a level where they're like they're above it. It's got to be superhero-esque.
I gotcha. Yeah,
that's
a good
mean?
Point.
Like
it's good point.
The minimizers, yeah. Hey, guess what? Do you guys do? Oh, we're gonna go minimize the other team.
Yeah. What about all of? What about the old fashioned? You jam the three names together, and you get Smackwood.
Not bad, but not like
not a keeper.
Creative. I like that, but not a keeper.
Okay. So I think we've agreed. We're still a work in progress.
Yeah,
still a work in progress.
We haven't found it yet.
We're still workshopping.
Yeah, but there's like a lot. There's a lot of good. Now we have, you know, when you get into and you start brainstorming, now there's a lot of good different areas to pull from and suggestions, I think.
Okay. We got the themes. We're still working on it. See, Mace, we'll see you tomorrow in Smashville, and I hope a lot of people are there. This needs to be the best atmosphere of the season. This team deserves to have the kind of following. And then Tuesday against Vegas, wow, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
As well.
Now they're in the city. They got something to play for, right? They're in a desperate situation. Fans have been amazing. Let's pack the barn the rest of the way.
All right, C-Mace, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see you guys.
Yep. All right, excellent stuff. Stay tuned. We've got hour number two. We'll get you a scoreboard update. Day two of the big brackets day going on. Florida Atlantic leading Northwestern 18-16. And a couple of other games are getting underway as well. We'll update you on those. Stay tuned. We're coming back with hour number two.